all my soul, and all my strength. Can I tell you this morning, that is my lifetime task. That is my life work. My life work is loving God more. And loving my neighbor more. In fact, that's the reason why still, occasionally, I think I did in July 16th last year, I sinned. No, I'm just teasing. But occasionally, how many know that all of us still sin? We still struggle. But you know, when we sin and when we struggle and when we mess up, the real issue with that sin is it's an injury to love. We have not fully learned to love yet. And so our recovery process, as people who are in the process of becoming, is to learn to love more. And so I have a goal for Life Church. I have a goal for Life Church, and I believe we're on the way, church, that we're going to be a love church. A church that loves God and that loves people and doesn't have to spend a whole lot of time with the do's and don'ts because we're so passionately in love with God that we don't have time for treating people wrongly. Amen? Amen. So that's the goal. And in fact, don't just take my word for it. In Romans, the Apostle Paul said this, "Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another." And then he says, "If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirement of God's law. For the commandments say you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself." And then he says this, "Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of the law." So our goal, church, in our discipleship, in our becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus, is to learn how to love more. How many this year, 2017, want to be more in love with God and love people more? Amen. All right, so let me talk for a moment about loving God. If you understand the Bible, and I'm tired of the media telling us what the Bible says, oh, the Old Testament is a mean God, and then you get to Jesus and he's a good God, and all of that kind of stuff. Let me just tell you something. I just want to say to the media, you don't understand the Scripture, and you don't understand the power of God, because from page one to the end, the Bible is a love story. Part of my job as a pastor is to teach you Scripture, that everything that happens in Scripture is a result of God's love for us. He created a wonderful, beautiful world. Humanity sinned, and not just Adam and Eve, but all of us we followed them, like lemmings going over the cliff. We all followed them in that sin, but the rest of the Old Testament leading up to Jesus is God showing and wooing his people back and showing him his love and telling him of what he's going to do. And when we could not get up to God, God came down to us. That's the message of the Bible. Amen. So he doesn't just say love God, but he says love God with all. We used to sing a song years ago, "Jesus be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart." And the verse went, "There's many kingdoms in my heart, and some of them belong to God and some of them don't. But Jesus, would you be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart? God, I want to love you with all." Could you just say all together? All. Love God with all. So I want to break this up in what he said, because what Jesus did is he talked about different locations within us that we are supposed to love. And then I want to add to those locations some practices that go along with that kind of love. First of all, he says, love God with all your heart. With all your heart. With all your heart. How do I love with my heart? I really believe that the practice of loving with our heart is the practice of giving. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. And then Jesus in Matthew said, don't store up treasures on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. But store yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust can't corrupt and thieves do not break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your what? Heart will be. Can I just say, you can't disconnect your heart with your wallet. Anybody have kids? I just saw a new statistic. The government statistic is saying that it now costs about $250,000 to raise a kid. I don't think it costs me that much with mine because I have Dollar General kids. We got Walmart kids. The truth of the matter is we have spent and spent and spent and spent to raise our kids. Why? Because we love them. And we love them with our heart. We love them with our heart. You know, at church a lot of times we get really law-bound when it comes time to talk about giving. We love the Malachi scripture, you know, bring the tithe into the storehouse that my house may be full and all of that. And then people will ask, well, Pastor, do we tithe on the gross or do we tithe on the net? You know, as I thought about that as I was preparing the sermon, that's not really a love question. I know that everyone's not able to give. Some people are unemployed. Some people don't have the means to give. You're getting out of debt. You're getting employed. I'm not here to put judgment on anybody. But I'm just saying love has a totally different attitude about it. Love says I don't have to give. Love says I get to give. Yesterday I brought my last munchkin to college, Noah. And it's costing me. And can I just tell you, I don't care. I don't care. It means a lot to me because I love him. I love him. And when it comes time to giving to the Lord, tithing isn't really an issue with my wife. We tithe, but we do more than the tithe because we just do the best we can. Why? Because we love God. Let me just say, in a relationship, it doesn't just go one way, by the way. By the way, when we say that the tithe belongs to the Lord, that's 10% belongs to the Lord, can I just correct that a minute and just say, that's true in a sense, but there's another sense in which it all belongs to God. It all belongs to God. Everything that I have belongs to you, Lord. But not only that, so we talk about that part, but can I just say, all that we have belongs to God. I just say this, and I've never thought of this before until this moment, but everything that God has belongs to us. He's given us everything. Everything that we have comes from God. He gave us this, everything that He's created. He said, go out and enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Because He loves us. Boy, if you walk away from this church today and not understand how much you are loved, you are dearly loved. God loves you. Hey, friend, God loves you and has a wonderful plan. So loving God with our hearts involves our pocketbook. It says we give. So in a on the gross and the net. I heard Dave Ramsey answer that question the other day. You know who Dave Ramsey is? He's the Christian financial guy. He's got a radio show. Someone asked, should I tithe on the gross and the net? And Dave Ramsey said, why does it matter? Christians are only tithing 2%. They're only giving 2% of their incomes right now to the Lord. Why are we even fussing over whether we're going to do off the gross? But can I just say, I don't think America has a giving problem. I think America, I think us, I think all of us, we have a loving problem. Help us to love more. And the more that we love, it doesn't even become an issue. The more that we love, and by the way, the Bible's right. You can never outgive God. God, you'll never give to the Lord where he's not going to give you so much more in return. God surprises me all the time. This week I had a surprise. I looked in my account, and $250 showed up unaccounted for. Well, last week I'd sold a vacation to somebody, and when I did, we had some small talk time to burn, and I just said, and he was talking about his job. He works for the movie industry, and he's a Christian. It was a wonderful couple. He's a Christian, and he does lighting for the movie industry. And he was talking about what it was like to be a Christian in that industry and all that. But anyway, he said, I got months where I'm not working, and I need something to do. And I said, well, I drive for Uber. And he goes, oh, man, I've always wanted to drive for Uber. Here's another Uber story. This is my Uber story of the week. So I told him about that, and he's from Charleston, South Carolina. So he said, okay, give me your sign-up code. And so, because if you sign up code, I get $100. And so he said, oh, it's from Knoxville. I got to sign up in Charleston, South Carolina. That won't work. He said, well, just give me your code, and I'm going to go to South Carolina, and I'll sign up. And he not only signed up, but he started driving. And this week I got an email that says, so-and-so has just completed their rides, and here's $250. In Charleston, they apparently have a better incentive than they do here. That was a surprise I didn't expect. Just God, how do you just have times when God just blesses you when you in ways that you don't account for, in ways that you don't know? He's so good. A cartoon of a guy being baptized once, and as he was going down in the water, he was holding his wallet out of the water. In other words, he wanted every part dedicated to God except for that. Can I just encourage you today? Let's baptize. Thank you so much. Let's baptize our wallets. Let's let our wallets be dedicated to God. Let's just see. I'm just gonna challenge you. Try it. Test God, the Bible says. See if I won't pour you out more blessing than you can even contain. But study the tithing passages. Just study the love passage. Just love more. I want to grow in my love. And then he says, love God with all your soul. What is the practice that goes along with all of your soul? Soul's kind of hard to explain. But how many know you know when someone has soul? See a singer that's got soul? You know what I mean? Oh, when we hear them sing, we say, oh, I don't know, but they got soul. I really believe that the practice that goes along with worshiping God with all of our soul is worship. Worship. 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially that the day of his return is drawing near. Can I just say on this Martin Luther King Sunday that I have a dream? I have a dream for Life Church that one day Taylor's going to be up leading worship. And instead of having to encourage us to lift our hands and to get excited, he's going to be up there saying, calm down, folks, Phil's got to preach. Come on now. I have a dream. You say, oh yeah, but if I did that, you know, somebody would label me something and they would think I was crazy and all of that kind of stuff. But man, when you're in love, you know when you're in love, you just don't care. I don't care what so-and-so is doing. I don't care what so-and-so is saying. But Jesus has been so good to me. I remember one time being at a youth camp, I saw a kid that was maybe a year or two ahead of me, and he was down in the front row, and he was really tall, and he was standing on the front row, and he had his hands, They weren't up like this. They were like this. His name was David Denny. He's a worship leader today. He's just a kid. But I remember saying to myself, that's what I want. I want to be so non-embarrassed. I want to be so. The Bible said David danced before the Lord. The presence of the Lord came back into the city. And there were people saying, David, you're the king. You shouldn't be doing that. He said, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'll be more undignified than this. And David danced with all his might before the Lord. Paul said, in every place I want men to pray with holy hands lifted to God, free from anger and jealousy. Can I just cast a vision this morning for a that doesn't care that we not only love God with our hearts, but that we love Him with our soul. And when it comes down to we don't care whatever. Let me just say that some people worry what other people will think, you know, if you really get into worship. Do you know that the world is looking for people that actually believe in what they say they believe? The world is looking for a church that actually has the passion to say, oh, there's really something here. Amen. Amen. You don't have to tell people to come. You don't have to tell people, if our love's in the right place. Hey, what if we treated our ministry at church the same way we treated our jobs at work? You know, we don't show up for our jobs at work, we're fired. You know, we're volunteers at church, but so what? What if my volunteer is so important to me because I just worship with my soul and I love Him so much, not just with my heart, but that I love Him with my soul. That is that important to me. Come on, nobody's, I can't tell how, am I doing okay or should I just leave the stage right now? If I'm doing okay, could you just clap your hands to the Lord right now? Come on now, am I telling the truth this morning? Am I telling the truth? It's a love issue, isn't it? It's all about the love, it's all about the love. You know, I hate to bring up a sore subject to those of you who are Alabama fans, but Alabama did lose the national championship game, and my condolences go to all of those fans within our church. However, the coach of Clemson happens to be a strong believer in Jesus. So much so, he gets criticized by the press, gets criticized for praying with his team and all that kind of stuff. After that game, with tears in his eyes, with passion, he didn't talk about how good the offense did and how good the defense did. He said, this team, this year, is all about one thing. Love. Football coach. It's all about love. He said, I told my players, you just go out there today and you just love each other. And they were behind at halftime. He told his team, I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know we're going to win because you guys love each other. Love wins. Amen. Love God with all your heart, your soul. And then love. You don't have to say, you know, it's my duty to go to church on Sunday. You know, Jesus died for me, so I'll make that sacrifice. How about somebody like David saying, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching. I'm going to write down on that one. All right. All right, love Him with your heart, love Him with your soul, and then love Him with your mind. David said in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners. I'm going to go back to, hey, consider prayer on Wednesday night. Not just to see how good the service might be. Just come because you love God and you want to go closer to Him. Amen? Wednesday night. All right. This is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatsoever they do shall prosper. Can I just say, church, it's important that we love God with our minds. That we discipline our minds. Let me just tell you something. Our minds are like computers. If you put junk in, you're going to get junk out. If you fill your mind with stuff all week long, if you fill your mind with godless stuff all week long, if you fill your mind with trivial stuff all week long, don't expect that good stuff's going to come out. The Bible needs to meditate. Meditate on His Word day and night. I've just started the one-year Bible again. I'm not just doing this for 2017. This is my life pattern. Every year, just once again, to read through the Scripture every day, getting my daily, on my way to work, listening to the Scripture in my car as I go to work. Why? Because I'm programming my mind. I'm programming my mind. And it's important, folks, what we put in our minds. Let me just say, in this computer generation, it's so important what we put in our minds. I'm preaching this morning. If we want to love God with our minds, it's important what we say no to and what we say yes to. Amen. Amen. So meditate on his words. Seeing the world through the Christian worldview. No matter what my professors say, I believe that God created the heaven and the earth. No matter what my professors say, I see the world through the lenses that man has fallen, but God has made a plan for us when we couldn't do it ourselves. That's the Christian worldview, and we need to protect our minds in this. Let me just say, I grew up in a church that was a bit anti-intellectual. And I just want to, because we need educated believers. We need educated scientists. You know that the greatest thinkers in all the world through history, many of them were Christians. Many of them were people of faith. And we need in our day people that are willing to go and study and do all of those things, but to hold strong to their Christian faith and be in positions of greatness that God can do great things through them. It's really important, folks, that we love the Lord with all of our mind. And finally, with all of our strength, service. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. One thing I love about Life Church is that everyone seems so well. Classes, it just seems like people are wanting to get involved. They're wanting to serve. Maybe it's just that I don't know. Maybe Mike Randolph just likes making coffee. I don't know. Maybe Mike Randolph just likes getting here before everyone else gets here. Maybe Coy just loves doing dirty work. I don't know. Maybe so. And I say that, Coy, because what I know about you is you no one else notices. I mean, no one talked about blowing the leaves this year, but I came by one day and the leaves were blown. And I'm just saying, I'm not sure it's just a love for doing that, but I think there's people, and that part of our growth as Christians is to love God with all of our strength. This isn't just what you do around the church, by the way. It's whatever job you have. Who do you work for? McDonald's? No. I work for the Lord. Well, where do you work? I work for the Lord. He's my boss. He's the one that I'm looking to. He's the one that I'm taking on. Doesn't mean I'm disrespectful to my boss. I better be respectful to him because God would want me to be. But it means I'm going to do it with all that I can. Not because my boss wants it done, but when I'm mopping those floors, I'm doing it with excellence because I'm not just doing it for you, but I love God. And I'm not just doing it with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, but I'm doing it with all my strength. You know, I pray that one day when I die, I've made a lot of mistakes in life. I pray that the redeeming thing that could be said about me is that he loved God. He loved God. And you know what the Bible says about love and all the mistakes that we have in life and all that? It says that love does what? It covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. God, make me a lover of you. And then Jesus said something radical. He said, "And your neighbor as yourself." But Jesus changed a little bit the Old Testament teaching on this. Because the scripture I read you early said that when one of your Jewish fellows is in trouble, look out for him and love him. Jesus expands the definition of neighbor to include everyone. Everyone. Love all your neighbors. Hey, could I just say on this Martin Luther King Sunday that I have a dream? I have a dream that in the church, that the colors of this church would reflect the beautiful colors in heaven. And that we are so welcoming of our neighbors here because not only do we love God, and interestingly enough, Jesus didn't just say that this is love God is the most thing, and then number two is love your neighbor. No, he said, and equally important is love your neighbor. You know why? Because if you don't love your neighbor, you don't really love God. The Bible says you can't love God and hate your brother. I saw a banner on one of the churches downtown. It said, immigrants, and what's the other key word people are saying? Immigrants and refugees welcome. Immigrants and refugees welcome. I thought it was beautiful. Big banner. Immigrants and refugees welcome. They want it to be said from the church that immigrants, and I want that to be said from Life Church. We can't afford the banner, so I just thought I'd tell you about it. But to even expand on immigrants and refugees welcome, could we just say everyone welcome? We are a welcoming church. There's a phrase that's used in the gay community or about churches related to the community. And one of them is welcoming and affirming. And that means that we welcome you and that we affirm that, you know, that it, basically it's okay and you can just be who you are, whatever. Let me just say this. I think Christians react to that and they say, absolutely not, blah, blah, blah. This is what's right and this is what's wrong. But could we say not just about that issue, but about every issue that all of us struggle with, that we are a church that is welcoming and transforming. Amen. Welcoming and transforming. So that everyone's welcome here. It doesn't matter what your color, what your race, whether you're gay, whether you're straight, anything, you're welcome here. But we don't only believe in the scripture. We believe in the power of God. And we believe that God can change people. Some people say, Pastor, people can't change. I'm in the wrong business then. We're in the change business. And how, you know what? If you'd have known me some years ago, I'm not the same man that I was then. And if you know me in 10 years, hopefully I'll be better. And you know why? Because I learned to love more. More with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my strength. We have a friend named Brandon, a friend of Natalie's that she went to college with. And the first time I met Brandon, he was a cynical college student. Very smart. Too smart for Christians. And so he kind of became an agnostic, leaning toward atheism. And over the last several years, God's done the most amazing thing in Brandon. He graduated from college, and after a period of not having a job, he finally landed a great job in Chicago with Deloitte. It's one of the biggest accounting firms in the country. But he really got, and through all that, God radically changed his life. He became a Christian. But then he got concerned about the refugees, and he got concerned about the way they were being treated. And so Brandon, who's a single guy, said, I'm going to take my money and buy a bigger apartment in Chicago so I can house some refugees. And so, is it three, Natalie, that he has, or Melanie has living with him? I think he has three living with him now. And he gave up his bed, the refugee bed. He sleeps on the couch. Brandon doesn't charge them any rent, but he does ask that they take Bible study with him every week. He's teaching them Bible study. For one of them's rent, he's having them teach him Arabic. Brandon is so excited. It's been almost a year now that this has been going on. Brandon just this week reported his first refugee has just given their hearts to Jesus. And so I saw his Facebook post. January 3rd. It's that time of year, beginning of the year, that people feel spurred to change for the better, usually in ambitious ways and deeply personal avenues. I'm a big fan of this time of year, and I'm not stymied by the cynicism observed in the reality that most people will fail at these attempts. If it were easy, it's hardly be worth resolving to change in the first place. So I say, be bold in your desire to change. Can I just say that, Life Church? Be bold in your desire to change. But I wanted to comment on a reality of change in my own life that has proven to be the single greatest and joyous shift I never expected. It's a radical course correction that I deeply hope continues to change me. It's a change that I would hope everyone else would find for themselves as well. I'm actually no stranger to change, though generally I change for the worse rather than the better. I've been religious and political in the worst ways. I've been arrogant and selfish to the degree. I've dedicated my self-worth to the most worthless of endeavors, and that's just the stuff I'm willing to admit on a public forum. I know it's kind of popular to joke that 2016 was just a pitiful bad year, but for me, that pitifully bad year was 2014. I graduated college having accomplished everything I wanted to, but was completely roadblocked at every attempt to get a job in my field. Spent 7 months unemployed and an additional 9 months underemployed. On its face, it doesn't sound that devastating, but it really was an unimaginable emotional challenge in my own mind. I had an extremely high opinion of my own abilities, and the virtually constant rejection burned in me deep hopelessness. That view has since been radically put in perspective, given the immense amount of true suffering in the world today. Yet, that challenging time did one great thing. It broke up, if briefly, that constant, unyielding focus on me and my ambition. To escape my inner torment, I desperately began seriously seeking for a deeper meaning that was greater than myself. I won't go into the details, but that time eventually transformed an agnostic leaning toward atheism, self-worshipper, into a confident, passionate follower of the fulfilled and divine Messiah. I think you know who I'm talking about. Studying the teachings of Christ deeply, I found that kind of awkward and painful complexity that true things tend to exhibit. Life is never as simple as memes and BuzzFeed videos try to depict it. The absolutely ridiculously, absurdly paradoxical claim of Christ is that if you want to be exalted, you must be humbled. And if you want to be rich, you must be generous. If you want to be great, you must become a servant. And if you want life, true life, you must die to yourself. More amazingly, Jesus recognized the truest reality of my personal experience. No matter how hard I tried, no matter how much I wanted or desired to be better, I was never capable of changing myself to be the person I knew that I should be. But Jesus promised that universal condition. He promised that God would inhabit and transform my heart. That Jesus was working to fulfill the promise of Moses that God would one day come to transform our hearts to follow God completely. In the greatest commandment, to love God with the completeness of yourself and love others as you love yourself. I've had an amazing opportunity in 2016 to live to that teaching more closely than before, though clearly imperfectly. I've worked with refugees and freed up resources for others rather than just for myself, not because of anything good in me. Definitely I'm not. I'm more aware of my sinfulness than ever before, but purely because of the goodness of God. So I'm going to give advice on what or how to change. I'd first seek the one person who promised to change you deeply. Live for God and others and die to yourself. I guarantee you'll find a richness and beauty you didn't know was possible. This morning, I'm going to invite us to pray, and there might be some here that want to say, Pastor, this word was for me, and I want to die to myself, and I want to love God more. It's not really an obedience problem I've been having. It's a love problem. And I want to love Him more. And I want to change today. And I want to give Him control of my life and my heart. And I want to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, if that's you in this room and you would just, by the lifting up your hand, raise it like you just don't care. Just tell God that, yes, I'm in. I want you in my life. Would you raise your hand? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And now, Lord, we just pray, Lord God, for those, God, who are making a step and a start today. Lord, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that the power of God would transform them, God. Help us to love you more with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 Shall we all stand? Let's sing with the worship team.